If you're going to a solid Lutheran church that does the liturgy where the historic worship is used, if there ever was a time in the history of the West to just keep doing it, this is that time.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn radio show.
Because the ones in collapsing evangelicalism are going to start looking to Rome or Eastern Orthodoxy or a blown-out Episcopal church, looking for something historical rather than just experiential. And I want us to be one of the markets that they bump into.
You can meet and hear Rod Rosenblatt June 14th and 15th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois.
So we decided, let's take 6 or 8 months and let's dig into the Scriptures and let's decide, what is a fully devoted follower of Christ? And Eureka, when we got done with that whole study, we came up with kind of 5 concepts, and we managed to arrange them in a way where all of them started with the letter G. And some of you veterans will remember this, and we're kind of bringing it back so that we can have this common understanding of what a fully devoted follower of Christ is.
That's Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois, preaching recently about that church that once most influential of megachurches in the United States, no longer so. That church returning to the vision frame established by Willow Creek back in the 1990s. He calls it the 5 G's, grace, growth, groups, gifts, and good stewardship. Willow Creek has been doing a little soul searching for about 10 years now, actually, and I'm not exactly sure why. They've decided to go back to what got them, or at least what they believe got them where they are today. Back to basics, back to Bill Hybels, basic ideas and vision there. What is going on at Willow Creek? And is the same thing happening at other influential or once more influential megachurches in the United States? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 12th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith joins us to talk about Willow Creek's return to its 1990s vision frame, as they call it, in the first half hour or so of the program today. Then our pastor's roundtable, Pastor Michael Walther, Pastor Ernie Lassman will join us. We're going to be in Luke chapter 7 and 8. The sinful woman is forgiven. Jesus tells a little parable of 2 debtors, one forgiven much, one forgiven little. And he says, look, he who is forgiven much loves much. We'll talk about that with our pastor's roundtable and with you as well, and then we'll round off today's Issues Etc. Doing a movie review, one of my favorite books of all time. It's been made into a movie, I think, at least 3 times. This may be the 3rd attempt, The Great Gatsby. We'll be talking about that movie, how it's faithful to the book, but also what of a Christian worldview does it betray, perhaps unintentionally. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page for questions and comments for our Pastor's Roundtable in about a half hour, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, and he's host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Sounds like all of Bill Hybels' old ideas are being recycled there at Willow Creek. What has occasioned this rethinking back-to-basics approach that Willow Creek is undertaking?
Well, from the sounds of it, they've experienced a loss of clarity, or if we were talking about Willow Creek as like a corporation, it sounds to me internally they've been struggling with something that we would call scope creep or vision creep. The idea is that they haven't been focused on their primary mission and vision, and as a result of it, they've now have competing missions and visions and ideas going on as to which direction the organization should go and what they should be doing and focusing their resources and attention on. And as a result of this, plus they've lost some kind of key people that were on staff there in the 90s, that they need to get back to basics. It sounds like they've kind of lost the lead as far as, you know, churches to go to in being innovative, creative, and cutting edge. In fact, it sounds like they weren't really even using the products that they were selling to churches in the 90s. They got off of their ideas.
This isn't the first time. I mentioned a minute ago that it's been probably almost a decade since I think we probably talked with you and several other guests about it as well. They did some soul searching. There was a big survey that they conducted, and a lot of the churches that are part of the Willow Creek Association did similar soul searching surveys, found similar results. Reveal is what it was called. But it sounds like at least those who were in the know are saying, well, that might be part of the problem. We were doing too much soul searching.
Yeah, I don't know if that's really the issue. What the Reveal study was a little bit of a black eye for them. And the reason why is because it was the first real attempt at doing what was they considered a qualitative survey of the effectiveness of their model at making disciples. And what they found at the time when they did this qualitative survey is that it actually wasn't the seeker-driven model that they had been, you know, selling and, you know, telling all these other churches to join up on, these hundreds of thousands of churches around the world to jump on the seeker-driven bandwagon, that at the end of the day it was very ineffective at making in-depth quality disciples of Jesus Christ. And this really speaks to the vapidity of the model itself. And so the soul searching, you know, it ended up giving people cause to critique the model as a whole. And it gave them a little bit of a black eye, and the Reveal survey kind of disappeared and never came back again. They haven't really talked about it since then. And but this is a little bit different than that. You know, this is remember that Willow Creek for many years was like the leader along with Saddleback. You know, there was Saddleback and Willow Creek were, you know, the cutting edge church growth go-to organizations and networks to learn how to supercharge the growth in your congregation, and they were the ones with the innovative model with the small group studies and bringing in cultural trappings and pop culture music and things like that into the church as a means of attracting what they would call seekers. And they've lost that, you know, preeminent position now, and there's other churches and other leaders who are really on the rise, while Willow Creek, and I would even say to some degree Saddleback, their influence is on the wane. And it makes me wonder if they're not trying to, in some sense, refocus as a means of trying to recapture some of that influence that they've lost.
Okay, can you explain a few terms to me? One of the ones we heard out of Willow Creek for many decades now, and we heard Bill Hybels use the term fully devoted Christ follower. It sounds kind of clumsy to me, but they use it an awful lot. What does Willow Creek mean when they use that term?
Well, the primary goal in their view of discipleship is to get you to be like Jesus. So a fully, you know, sold out or devoted Christ follower is one who is committed to really ultimately at the end of the day being Christ-like, being more like Christ in how they treat their family, how they treat their coworkers, how they approach life and stuff like that. So it's kind of a highfalutin and convoluted way of talking about Christian sanctification, but it's done in such a way that it makes you wonder if it really even equates with what we would call Christian sanctification. You know, the bearing fruit and keeping with the repentance in people's life and the fruit of the Spirit in one's life. That's somewhat part of that. But the idea is that you got to get the seeker-driven model, and that is that it's at its core it's semi-Pelagian at best and Pelagian at worst. And what I mean by that is that they're basically trying to get people to make decisions, and each decision that they make, it's not just one decision. Back in the old days when we were talking about revivalism is to get you to come down to the aisle and make that decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life or ask him into your heart. In the seeker-driven way of looking at sanctification, it's several different decisions, each decision requiring more and more commitment or sold outness on the part of the person who is making the decision. The way Rick Warren describes it, he talks about the first question that, you know, or the first thing that Jesus says to somebody is, "Come follow me," and then, you know, over a succession of different, you know, commitment, you know, decisions, then ultimately will come to, you know, come and lay down your life or be willing to die for me. And so the idea is that how do we in church, you know, program and preach and teach in such a way that we're getting people to make those next steps to the next commitment level to the point where they're sold out and would be willing to, you know, die for the faith, so to speak.
So do they have a different definition of Christian?
Do they have a different definition of Christian? I think that that is absolutely possible, and it's a tough case to sell, but I don't think it's a tough case to prove. You know, they're talking about people who are making decisions and commitments and things like that. We're talking ultimately about loving God and loving neighbor, and it's a confusion of law and gospel, whereas historically, Christians are those who've been brought to repentant faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and then bear fruit in keeping with that repentance. In their way of thinking, you know, it's kind of like law, gospel, you know, to get you in, but then it's law. Everything you have to do to, you know, take that next step to go deeper, and it's all about you and your decisions and your free will, and ultimately being sold out. So it's a different view of Christianity altogether.
I guess I got to ask. We got about a minute before we take this break. Given what you just said, could we, perhaps with the risk of oversimplifying, but could we say that the latest rethinking that we're witnessing here with Willow Creek is them saying, rather honestly and perhaps without guile because it's driven by their theology, we just haven't been hammering the law with our people enough?
That may be a good way of saying it, but I think there, if you've listened to the last few sermons that Bill Hybels has preached, I think he starts with himself and he kind of pushes out from there. And the idea is that he has admitted and confessed that he hasn't really been committed the way he feels that he should in staying true to their original mission and vision. And the last sermon that he preached, I mean, he's just full-on vision casting, doing what he believed that God was helping him dream for what the future of Willow Creek can be. So it's a recommitment to that altogether, starting with Bill Hybels.
Sounds like another step in the wrong direction. Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about Willow Creek's return to its 1990s so-called vision frame. When we come back, we'll talk about the 5 G's that they're going back to.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues, Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Willow Creek's return to its 1990s vision frame, the five G's: grace, growth, groups, gifts, and good stewardship. We'll discuss that with Chris Roseborough in just a minute. Chris is the host of a daily internet radio show called Fighting for the Faith, and Chris is also going to be at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. You get a chance to meet him and to hear him make the case against postmodernism in the church. That's this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday. Now, it's not too late to register. You can still register online, issuesetc.org, or show up and register when you arrive. But it is too late to get in on the meal plan for Friday and Saturday. That's okay. You can still register and attend the conference. Issuesetc.org. Look for the logo for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. You can show up Friday or Saturday at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 1300 Beltline Road in Collinsville, Illinois. The registration fee for this final week, minus the meal plan, is $75 per person. Issuesetc.org. Look for the logo for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Chris, let's go through these five G's that are form the so-called vision frame of Willow Creek that they're returning to. And they begin, it sounds like, in a good place with grace. What does that mean in Willow Creek speak?
Well, in Willow Creek speak, they're not exactly talking about salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ's work alone. That's not what they're talking about when they're talking about grace, although from time to time you might hear them mention something similar to that. What they're basically talking about here in grace is this idea that lost people matter to God. And so grace is about God's love and care for lost people. And although it's true, that's absolutely the case, God does care for and lost people matter to God, it's an insufficient concept or definition of grace, and it's done in such a way, the way they talk about it, it's really not framed in the sense of lost as far as dead in trespasses and sins. It's unchurched people who are not experiencing the best results in a suburban American life. And as a result of it, lost people matter to God in the sense that God wants to come alongside you. He really has some tips and strategies that will make your life better and make your the results of your life better, and therapeutically will make you feel better about yourself. So kind of a therapeutic way is a way of looking at this. So they don't frame it in the sense of you're dead in trespasses and sins, and you need to be born from above or born of water and the Spirit and be brought to repentant faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's that you need to hear the good news that God is really for you, and that God is, he's not mad at you, he's madly in love with you. Something to that effect. That's more along the lines of the way they frame grace.
So you used the term several times, there's therapeutic. It is a therapeutic view of salvation and Christianity.
That's correct, or at least what they emphasize is more of a therapeutic type message that that then appeals to the religious seeker and makes the religious seeker believe that, well, wow, I didn't realize that God was so caught up in the success of my life and my life being better. I had no idea that he was really in my corner wanting to make things better for me.
Now, this has to be talked about in the context of kind of Willow Creek strategy, which has always been seeker-driven. What does that mean?
Well, the idea behind the seeker-driven movement is you make your church appealing to religious seekers. Apparently, there's a category that they believe exists out there of people who are diligently seeking God, and they believe that traditional church methodologies are an impediment to the church seeker, because if a religious seeker comes to a traditional church, they wouldn't understand the language, they wouldn't understand the tradition, and it would be an impediment to them. And so the idea is that you change the primary target of a church service. It's not for Christians anymore. The church is not for believers. Church is for the unchurched. And so the idea then is that you completely flip the paradigm, and then what happens is that the religious seeker is attracted to your church model and then will be willing to come and kind of kick the tires and be willing to give God a chance.
The next G is growth. That might go without explanation, but what does it mean in Willow Creek parlance?
In Willow Creek parlance, again, they're talking about growth in the sense of you making successive commitment decisions, you know, each one more costly than the next, to the point where you're fully devoted to to Jesus and willing to do whatever he asks you to do. We're not talking about 95% devotion. They would, in fact, the way they put it is 95% devotion is 5% too short. That's kind of the way they talk about it. So growth has to do with successive commitments to going deeper with each level commitment decision, costing you more personally in time and commitment and sold outness, as they would talk about, you know, for Jesus. So heavy emphasis on what you're doing and your commitment level to Christ and to being more like Jesus.
Groups, many people are kind of have a misconception about these mega churches, that they're just big groups of people, but that's not really their strategy, is it?
No, in fact, this goes back to, you know, what back in the 90s was pitched something called the cellular church. And the idea is, in the seeker-driven model, the smallest unit that a seeker-driven church really recognizes is not an individual member. And this has to do with the ideology behind the seeker-driven movement. But the smallest unit they're looking for is a group. This would be a small group. So the idea here is that as your growing in your commitment levels to being more like Jesus or being fully devoted, part of that involves you then doing life together in a small group, in a small community group. And these are the people who you're learning the Bible together with. These are the people who, in the Willow Creek model, I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of people who are showing up on a Sunday. It's impossible for Bill Hybels to practically know anybody that attends Willow Creek, and so effectively he's not going to do good when it comes to being there for sick visits and stuff like that. And so the way they talk about it, they then empower the people within the small groups to do ministry. So if you are sick and in the hospital, you don't call Willow Creek's leadership team and ask Bill Hybels to come visit you in the hospital. You call the people in your small group, and your small group does life with you. And this is the place where accountability happens, and this is the vehicle by which they talk about where life change is accelerated. So the idea here is that this is the place where you in community within the small group see the need to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus and make those successive decisions to go deeper and commit more to being fully devoted.
Gifts is the next in the list of five G's.
Yeah, and gifts here is, again, it's talking about what we would traditionally call the gifts of the Spirit. They recognize that each person is uniquely gifted by God, the Holy Spirit. Some people have administration, other people are teachers, and so they really encourage their members to find out what their spiritual gifts are and then give them a venue to put them into practice within the small groups that you're a part of. So that's part of this whole thing here.
Then finally, the final G is good stewardship. I mean, the seeker-driven churches have changed almost everything, but they haven't changed the offering plate.
No, that's just being crass. We're talking about money here, and we're talking about you as a fully devoted follower of Christ are giving 10% off the gross of your income every single paycheck at the first thing you do. So that's what good stewardship is talking about, for real, legitimate, literal tithing.
All right, these five G's all fall into that framework that you've mentioned several times here of this kind of increasing commitment until you reach 100% devotion as a Christ follower. Did you mention earlier this kind of the distinction there, this kind of semi-Pelagian theology that's at work here?
Yes, I did.
Is this kind of semi-Pelagianism taken past conversion on steroids?
Yes, absolutely. But I wouldn't say it's on steroids. I would actually say it's watered down. And the reason why I would say it's watered down is because I grew up in a Nazarene, Wesleyan, Methodist, churches. And, you know, if you want, you know, kind of like man-centered, you know, semi-Pelagian sanctification on steroids, be an old-school Methodist or Nazarene. That's what that is, because the primary central passage in those churches is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount saying, "Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." And we're talking about down the line obeying the commandments, and not only the commandments that are in Scripture, whole new set of commandments that, you know, that will help you make it so that you don't even, you know, transgress the ones in the Bible, like you don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls that do. But understand this, the Willow Creek model and the seeker-driven model isn't really about promoting Ten Commandments-type spirituality. Full devotion really has to do with the different sectors of your life being holistically healthy in them and making good decisions and not being destructive or self-destructive. So we could talk then about your finances. Are you balancing your finances right? Do your finances glorify Jesus? What companies are you investing in, and are you tithing? Let's talk about your marriage. Are you properly respecting and loving your wife? Are your children well behaved? Are things spicy enough in the bedroom? That's another measurement that they're looking at and they preach towards. Are you utilizing your time properly? Do you use a day planner? How is your career path going? Are you growing in your influence at work? Are you a leader? Are you practicing the proper leadership skills? So what happens here is that they use an alternative set of lists as far as how do you determine somebody is a fully devoted follower of Christ. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's more like the purpose-driven life.
Well, when we come back, we've got a few more minutes with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, talking about Willow Creek's return to its 1990s vision frame and its big 5 G's. Stay tuned.
I'm going to be making the case that post-modernity, rather than dying and going away, has actually become the default setting for the way people think in many of the churches today.
Chris Roseborough, on his presentation, Postmodernism in the Church, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois.
As a result of it, it constitutes a significant threat against biblical, historic, Orthodox Christianity, because its epistemology is extremely irrational, subjective-based, and, in fact, it's even a form of enthusiasm, God-withinism, that, at the end of the day, has as its project the eroding away and deconstructing of what historic Christianity teaches and confesses.
You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. You're 2 days away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
When Hannah Warren was born without a trachea or windpipe, doctors put in a temporary tube, but told parents she would likely die. but a new treatment could make a plastic scaffold of a new trachea for her and fill it in with stem cells from Hannah's bone marrow. Her parents couldn't afford the surgery, so St. Francis Medical Center, a Catholic hospital in Peoria, Illinois, waived the entire cost. The hospital opposes using embryonic stem cells because human embryos are killed in the process, and it hasn't proven successful. But they support adult stem cells like Hannah's procedure. Now that's putting your money where your mouth is. Hannah's doing very well and is expected to go home. Adult stem cells are providing many cures and treatments without taking human life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Roseborough is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, the 12th of June, and we got about another 5 minutes with him talking about Willow Creek's return to its 1990s vision frame, its 5Gs, kind of going back to basics for Willow Creek. Their influence has fallen off a little bit. I think the attendance at their leadership conferences has fallen off a little bit, and they're sensing that something's not right, so they're going back to basics, at least for Willow Creek, for back to basics. Chris, Eric has a very interesting question. He listens in Pennsylvania. He says, I just went to the Willow Creek website, and it gave me no indication that it was a church. They advertised a dad's fest with celebrity guests, a barbecue cook-off, music shows. Have they always had an outreach that appeals to people's needs, and when do they get to the gospel? It's a great question.
They've always had an outreach that basically puts people's, you know, current temporal needs and pop culture tastes up in the front. And I would argue, having listened to, you know, hundreds of Willow Creek sermons, that from time to time you do hear the gospel, but you have to know what you're listening for. And if you're really going to understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins is kind of the core clarion call of the gospel, you're not really going to get that clearly taught from the stage at Willow Creek. Instead, you almost have to learn it through osmosis, or if you're lucky, you've got a small group leader who might be familiar with those biblical themes, or maybe you accidentally read it during a Bible study during the small group time. But it's not something that's front and center at Willow Creek on any regular basis.
I mean, what makes this any different than just kind of a very large, well-organized Christian-ish self-improvement seminar that's held every week?
I think that's a good way to put it. And other people have described it as a perpetual a youth group for adults, or a perpetual a revival, if you would. But their measurements are based upon numbers of people coming and what they would consider to be measurable changes in people's lives. But my question is, how many people have been truly brought to repentant faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, been confronted with their sins, and know that they are subject to the result of their sinful rebellion, and that the only solution is in Jesus Christ? That is not even in that microscopic way of saying it, that's not a regular theme at Willow Creek at all. In fact, it barely shows up ever. And so I don't understand what effectively makes them a church. If you don't have the gospel, you know, regularly preached, you don't have Christ regularly front and center, and God's word rightly handled, you don't have the sacraments, what is it that exactly makes them a church? I would argue biblically we may not even have a church on our hands.
So where does Jesus, even in the most general sense, where does he fit into their vision frame, into their way of looking at themselves?
Well, they would first and foremost say that he's the source of their vision, this is something that God directly laid on the heart of Bill Hybels. So we're talking about direct revelation, at least that's the claim. And so they would argue, well, our vision has its source, Jesus himself, God himself, and we're doing exactly what he has told us specifically to do as a church. Which then leads to the question, why should we expect that Jesus would give individual churches visions and missions like this, apart from the vision and mission that Jesus has given for the church laid out in Scripture and in the Great Commission? These guys are exempt from that. So they would first argue that this vision comes from Jesus, but then Jesus is there
you know, at their church to help you by giving you the example of how you should live your life, how you can be well adjusted, by giving you the tips and principles that you can apply to your life for life change. And so he's there to coach you, he's there to motivate you, he's there as the you know, the exemplar of who you're to be modeling your life after. So in their way of thinking, they're very Christ-centered. But it's all law. No, there's really no gospel there.
I've heard them say Christ is behind everything we do. They don't say Christ is front and center in everything we do.
Yeah, he's behind the scenes. And when he's preached, it's as if Jesus is making a cameo appearance at Willow Creek. I'm glad that from time to time they trot Jesus out on the stage, and you know, so that he can wave his hands and everyone can give him a standing ovation, and then he disappears and works behind the scenes again. But he's not really the focus of their preaching, their teaching, or anything like that. The focus is you and the things you need to apply to your life to be fully devoted so that you can be like Jesus. And they don't really truly understand that Jesus was perfect, and the reason why he's the perfect model is because he was sinless, and his sinless, spotless sacrifice is the thing that saves us, and that we receive his righteousness as a gift when we're brought to faith in him for the forgiveness of our sins. That's kind of all lost and not even on the radar in their theology and their preaching.
Two quick final questions, about 30 seconds apiece here, Chris. If there's a big box church down the street from me, how likely is it that they have imbibed at one time or another of Willow Creek's influence or following Willow Creek's model that we've discussed here?
Very high. In fact, there's a good chance they'd actually be part of the Willow Creek Association, and many churches that are, that's one of the things they advertise, that they're part of the Willow Creek Association or Saddleback Community of Churches. That's very highly likely.
Tell us what you're going to be talking about tonight on Fighting for the Faith.
Tonight, well, actually, is our light episode. We have Pastor Jeremy Rohde. We're going to start a series of lectures as Pastor Jeremy Rohde of Faith Lutheran in Capistrano Beach, California, working his way through 1 John, the Epistle of 1 John. Fantastic lectures.
Folks, you can listen to Fighting for the Faith right after the broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristianradio.com. Chris Rosebrough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, and he's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest. See you this weekend.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.